Happy Royal Rumble weekend, folks. We are here. It is finally time to get on the road to WrestleMania. But for this week's episode, I am joined by Will Washington. You guys might know him from the Fightful family with podcasts such as Day After Dynamite, Grapsody, and he also has a podcast with Denise Salcedo called After the Week Podcast. So Will joins me for this week's episode to dish about our Royal Rumble predictions. We get into the Power Rangers universe, and for this week's Shoot or Boot segment, I put his beautiful wrestling encyclopedia mind to the test with Royal Rumble winners. Y'all, Will Washington dropped some facts on me during the segment that truly blew my mind. I really think that you guys are gonna enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, Will Washington. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Alex.
We're gonna have so much fun, so much fun. It's a big week. A big week in wrestling with Royal Rumble, but before we dive into the wrestling world, I think everyone that saw the Power Rangers special coming out on Netflix immediately thought of you. What are your expectations?
I can't think of the last time I cried at a trailer, but I legit did, and I'm like kind of tearing up even thinking about it. Like, that's how much this meant to me to see... to see Walter Jones, and when it was the moment he said, I haven't stepped on a Power Ranger set in 28 years, and I realized he really hasn't. We haven't seen Zach Taylor as a Power Ranger in 28 years. And like, I cried the day that they were replaced. It didn't even occur to me until I rewatched it as an adult that I was like, oh, they were off the show for months, and they were literally just using like old footage spliced in to like make you think that they were still there, or using like stand-in actors. I didn't realize that as a kid. I just thought, yeah, Power Rangers, they're all still here. Yeah. But seeing him, seeing Catherine Sutherland, seeing Steve Cardenas, and then that point that he made in the trailer where he's like, yeah, Zach and Rocky as characters have never been on screen together. That's awesome. Like, are you kidding me? Look at this. Are you all right? First off.
Yeah. Show it off.
This here. Ninja Megazord from, so they claim that they packaged it as from Power Rangers the movie, but the design is actually from the third season of the show, which is based off of Kaku Ranger. But anyway.
Ooh, the lore. I'm into this.
I got this. There was nothing I wanted more Christmas 1995 than the Ninja Megazord. Never got it, right? And so when they released this legacy edition of it, I don't care how much it was going to cost. I had to get it just because this was like the one that eluded me as a kid. I remember my parents got me the Shogun Megazord. And you know you were a spoiled kid when they get you like something that's still really awesome. And you're like, that's not the one I wanted, Mom. but I wasn't like that. I was a grateful kid. All right. But in my heart, that's how I felt. And so I was really excited to end up with this because as a kid... I did get Christmas 1995, which accompanies the Ninja Megazord. I got the Falcon Zord. These two do go together, right? And this is my original. This is my original from when I was a kid. Look, I am Power Rangers obsessed. Like, we got Lord Zedd right here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah!
Like, full-sized at that. I have a fully functioning dragon dagger. I'm pretty sure if I play this, the Dragon Zord will come out of the ocean somewhere. I live in Colorado, though, so there's no ocean nearby, so I probably would just end up attacking Los Angeles or something.
I think it'll come out of the snow.
Yeah.
Is what it will do. It'll come out of the snow. But yeah, that one, the Falcon one that you had?
Yes.
My brother had that growing up, because I remember my mom always tells the story of the only time that she's done Black Friday. And she went into the Toys R Us somewhere in the Bronx to get my brother's all of the, I think it was like the bigger action figures that they had. And she got all of the Power Rangers, the original set. And she always tells a tale of how she almost got into multiple fights just to make our Christmas a better Christmas. And she got those. She got all of the Megazords and... from that time period. And then she, for some reason, she found like this huge print of all of them, where they had their helmets off, and I think they're like standing in their headquarters.
I know exactly the one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that huge poster was hanging in my brother's room growing up.
I've got some artwork around here somewhere, but I will say, because like I'm originally from Los Angeles, and so growing up in Los Angeles, Power Rangers were incredibly hard to find. Like, one, show was filmed in Los Angeles, so there was like kind of this local presence of it. But then on top of that, you could not find the action figures on any shelves in the city of LA, anywhere you went. And so I never got a Power Rangers action figure until I moved to Colorado. Here, I think it was just less of a mad rush. It's just less of that kind of shopping mentality that Los Angeles has. But yeah, and I got my first action figure. I remember we were driving from California. We passed through Nevada, and we stopped at like a Target. And I just, I was so used to seeing empty shelves in Targets. That's what we saw when I was a kid. But all of a sudden, they had Power Rangers action figures. And I was like, we have to get these. And my parents got them for me on that car ride. And so I just spent like the rest of the car ride playing with these action figures all through. We drove through Nevada, drove through Utah, drove through. And then we ended up in Colorado. And like all my friends had them in Colorado. They were like, yeah, it's no big deal. You just go to a store and you buy Power Rangers toys. And I'm like, no, that's not a thing. When if you're from California, you're used to just like empty store shelves. And so that's my experience with Power Rangers. Moving here to this place I've been for the last 27 years. 27 years? How long have I been here? Oh, my God. I've been here since 94. Sorry.
The time's getting up there.
29 years is how long I've lived in the city of Denver. So Power Rangers, man.
I didn't know that they had 34 Megazords featured in the Power Rangers universe.
Well, they change them out every season because
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think that they would like change them out. Like I just thought they'd recycled them.
Well, because like certain shows have multiples, right? Because like Zeo had both the Zeo Megazord and then the Super Zeo Zords. And then so either way, and same with the Power Rangers in Space had multiple. But like the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because that went three seasons, but two of those seasons were based off of different series, because like, you know, there's a whole thing around that where the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was based off of Zeo Ranger, and there was only I think like 30 something episodes of Zeo Ranger, correct me if I'm wrong, people, but then but that first season of Mighty Morphin went like 60, and so which is insane to think about, a 60 episode season. But that show used to come on every day. People don't realize we would come home after school and sit down and just watch the show. It came on every single day. It wasn't like a weekly thing. And then the problem was they ran out of Zeo Ranger footage and they ended up like shooting some extra stuff in Japan. But then when they got to season two, it was like, okay, we've completely exhausted all Zeo Ranger footage. So we have to now go to, I think the show is called Die Ranger, and that's where the Megazord footage all comes from, and that's where the villains all come from. But they didn't want to change out the Rangers because they could make so much money off of the Rangers themselves. So they like shot American Ranger footage. And then when it went to Zords, it went to and they did that for three seasons before they couldn't do it anymore. So it's. Oh, go ahead.
No. I was gonna say I remember learning that when I watched the show on Netflix, the toys, like how we made them. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I remember.
It's a really great series.
Really great series. Oh man,
so many Megazords. But okay, let's say you and I could build a Megazord for any wrestler. Who would it be?
I would say Leo Rush really feels like a Power Ranger to me. And I don't mean that in just the sense of his look, but I mean in the sense of the way he, I guess it is, a lot of it is the look, but it's also the way he presents himself, in the way, like in the ring, he wrestles like you would see a Power Ranger in an epic fight. And it would be in that moment where he's down against the bigger wrestler that he's like, we need Megazord power now. And then all of a sudden, Megazord just like comes in and stomps his opponent out. Leo Rush. That's my answer.
Yeah, that's a really great answer because he has good style. So I feel like the Megazord would look really cool. Yeah. I thought of Sting.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say Sting to me is more like Zordon. Sting imparts the wisdom.
Okay. Yeah.
Sting would impart the wisdom on like a Darby Allin Power Ranger, right? And then all of a sudden he goes and does his thing. That's Sting to me.
Or you know what would be cool too? Kana. Asuka.
Yeah.
Just the whole look. Yeah. That'd be pretty
she'd
good.
She'd pull that off easily.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Maybe we'll see her at the Royal Rumble because they've been teasing Dark Asuka. I'm not too sure, but let's get into the Royal Rumble. It is this weekend.
How favorite event of the year, by the way. I mean, look, it is my favorite event of the year. I almost would have gone, except that I've got two major trips coming up like very shortly after, and it's just too much back-to-back-to-back because I got to do Revolution and WrestleMania within a month of each other. Like, I needed to chill as far as Royal Rumble's concerned. But I have, you see this poster right here? That one right there.
Yeah.
I have done Royal Rumble in San Antonio. I have been that exact building. So that's the other thing is I feel like I'm not necessarily missing out because I've done that building before. And I got to see Cena win his 16th title there. So, but hyped. I'm always hyped for the Rumble. It's always my favorite event of the year. I think the Rumble's better than WrestleMania. I think that in concept, obviously in execution, like last year, that wasn't the case. But I think in concept, I love the Royal Rumble. It is such a fun event to just sit down, watch, get excited for. It's still one of the most incredible concepts in wrestling history. And there's so much to get hyped for this year. I'm all in on Rumble.
Oh, yeah. And I'm so glad that you said the Rumble sometimes could be better than WrestleMania because that's how I feel. And especially watching it live with friends. And it's like any level of fandom, whether it's like current, older, getting back into wrestling or like brand new wrestling fans. It is so much fun to watch it together, get all the snacks, get all the drinks. And you're all counting down like 3, 2, 1. And then the buzzer's going on.
It's but a really year, easy watch.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to watch it. And especially, I'm sure when you watching it, when I was a kid, like just jumping up and down on my couch, just being excited of who's going to come out. It's just always such a spectacle. And this year, there's some really great predictions this year that people had online, at least the good predictions that I've seen online. But Let's get into it. So we've got Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. The Bloodline has been red hot so far. Any predictions on where the story will go for this match?
I think if they're smart, and I feel like they have to be smart enough to know how to temper and manage expectations. If they're smart, I think this is where they pull the trigger on whatever's going to happen to Sami Zayn to place him outside of the Bloodline. You know, the whole idea that Roman said, I don't want to see him till Saturday. So we know he's going to be there on Saturday. But I think this is the end of the line. I think the Bloodline turns on Sami as this ends.
I agree. I think something's also going to happen with Jay. Since Jay saved him at Raw.
Oh, I think Jay's going to be the one to double cross him. I think Jay is ultimately going to be the one, like, as Sammy is looking up with a look of sadness in his eyes. Because, you know, I think for a long time people wanted, you know, they knew the story they wanted. And then it kind of took a turn and there was a big expectation of people that they wanted to see Sami Zayn be a little bit more of a mastermind and maybe he's like a step ahead of everybody. But after this Monday, no, I actually like the idea that Sami has just really been looking for acceptance this entire time. And I want to see that moment where, like, I don't want to see it because it's going to break my heart. But as a creative person, I want to see that moment where Sami is looking up and, like, as he realizes he's been betrayed by Roman, he's been betrayed by Solo, he's been betrayed by Paul Heyman, and he looks over to the Usos, who have had his back this whole time, and they just give him a look like, get out of my face, and, like, shove him down or something along those lines. And he looks to Jay, who literally said, I love you, dog, on Monday. and Jay just like pie faces him. Like that's, oh, I know, right? That's a heartbreaking moment.
Gosh, it'll be like a I'm sorry, I love you moment. Yeah.
But I feel like something has to happen to keep Sammy out of the Royal Rumble, because I think there is this expectation from certain people that they want to see it, but I don't think that's where things are heading. And I think if they can be smart enough to manage that expectation, because, like, you know, a big comparison I keep hearing is Daniel Bryan, Royal Rumble 2014, mm-hmm. and how Bryan had that match earlier in the night with Bray Wyatt, but, you know, Bryan lost that match, but nobody walked away from that match thinking, oh, Bryan's unable to compete in the Rumble. And so we just didn't see Bryan in the Rumble. So there was this expectation throughout the rest of the night. That's okay. He lost to Bray Wyatt, but he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. And then when we see that, that's where we're going to get our moment. And he just wasn't in the Rumble. And I think there needs to be beforehand, whatever happens with Sami Zayn, something needs to definitively put the mark on the fact that he's not going to be in the Rumble. He's already not announced for it. And I think WWE's already tried to kind of manage that expectation. But I think if you have him in a way where he's like, I don't know, loaded onto a stretcher or something, then you can at least guarantee that fans aren't like, oh, we could still see Sammy later. Like, you got to make it so that we do not see Sami Zayn later on.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe we'll see him in that neck brace and the stretcher. Oh my God. It'll be all just heartbreaking once it all plays out. But
either way, not a chance Kevin Owens wins this. That's okay.
Yeah, not a chance. We love KO. I love KO, but yeah, there's not a chance that he'll win this. But moving forward with the Raw Women's Championship with Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss, I am interested to see what is going to play out with this match, also with the Pitch Black match that's happening with the association with Alexa and Bray Wyatt. I definitely think Bianca's going to win, though. Right?
I'm not so sure. I think that...
Really?
Really. I think that they're kind of at a bit of an impasse where there has to be, like, they've been doing this Bray stuff for so long that it kind of has to prove a little bit successful. Otherwise, what are we doing? And there's a piece of me that, look, Bianca is my favorite female wrestler in pro wrestling today, almost, or at least top three. I don't particularly care for Alexa Bliss in terms of the spookiness, but I think that it has to work at some point, right? Like, on its first try, if Alexa's unsuccessful here, what is she doing?
Yeah. Or maybe some shenanigans will play out.
I kind of think she could win.
See, now when you put it like that, maybe. And also, this is an opponent that Bianca, like, within this spooky, you know, element, she's never faced that before. So, I don't know. Now you put it that way. Oh, my gosh. I want Bianca to win because I love Bianca Belair. Yeah, but, I agree with you. I don't really care for the Alexa Bliss scary stuff. But it does have to play out, I guess. It does have to work out in some level. I just don't want it to be now, but I guess it might have to be now.
I mean, like, the thing is, if she goes into WrestleMania as champion, Bianca, you know, she will have been champion a year. You know, she won it at last year's WrestleMania. And I don't know. Do they want to do that again? I don't know if that's the goal here, because we have seen that before. We saw Becky Lynch go WrestleMania to WrestleMania with the title. Is that the plan, or do they maybe want to see Bianca in the chase again? I don't know.
We'll just have to wait and see, because we are on the road to WrestleMania. But speaking of the road to a interesting match, Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight for the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. I'm curious to see how they're going to do this match in the stadium.
I am more so curious what this even is,
yeah,
and if it's any good. Like, I have this worry. Well, I know Bray Wyatt has his fans, but, like, I feel like in this environment, I don't feel like any of this is ever delivered. I know there's people who like the John Cena match, but, like, that's not really a match. That was just, like, a series of vignettes. But as far as like the actual Bray Wyatt like stipulation matches like this, every time I walk away from them just going, why did I watch that? And so I don't know what this is going to be like under, not under Vince.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I am pleasantly surprised, but it's probably the thing I'm looking forward to the least. It's the thing I'm most curious about for sure. I don't know what it is. What is this match? Have any rules been explained as far as what a Mountain Dew Pitch Black match is? Have you tried Mountain Dew Pitch Black, by the way, Alex?
I have not either.
The friend of mine told me that it's actually really tasty. But as far as this match is concerned, I don't know. I don't know what this is even supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything with a Bray Wyatt match moving forward could be better than the WrestleMania 33 Worms.
That's what I think about. That's the stuff that comes to mind is I'm like, oh no, projecting worms on the worst part is with a dead crowd too. It'd be one thing if the crowd was at least even a smidge into that match, but the fact that all this stuff is happening and nobody cares.
Dude, that was my first WrestleMania, and I was there, and like my whole section was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, and we couldn't see what was happening in the ring because we saw a bunch of people like, so we had to look up at the screens and we're like, what is this?
That was the first time in my life I ever went to a WrestleMania weekend and passed up on WrestleMania. And I kind of regret a little bit of that because I missed the Hardy's mm-hmm. pop. But that was the first time I was in Orlando for that show. And I did everything else. I went to the indie shows. I went to NXT. I did all of this stuff. And then I went home for WrestleMania. I flew home Sunday morning, and I was home in time to watch WrestleMania from my couch. And I had people texting me like, hey, where are you at? I was like, I went home. I am back in Colorado already. And it turns out, by the way, if you want to save money, I kind of recommend that. If you ever want to be a part of like WrestleMania weekend and enjoy all the festivities, get to do Wale Mania, get to do indie events and Hall of Fame, all of the stuff that surrounds it, but then really don't want to spend a whole lot on a WrestleMania ticket, do that. It's a blast. And you'll get to have all the fun and save a ton of money. Highly recommend.
Also, there's bars in the area for most cities where WrestleMania is held where they do show WrestleMania. But that weekend, WrestleMania 33, that was my first one. So we did like Access. We did all the indie shows, WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And with that Hardy Pop, I was in attendance for the Ring of Honor show. We were in like Hardy Watch too, and my friends were on Instagram like, oh no, he just posted that he was in the airport, and we're like, oh okay, whatever, let's enjoy WrestleMania. And then we get there and our minds were blown. The whole entire stadium was shaking. That was the biggest pop I've ever been a part of, and it still like makes my heart race when I think about it.
Can I tell you the only reason I knew? It's been 6 years, so I'll blow his spot a little bit. But I was in interview pursuit mode that whole weekend. And I had bumped into Matt Hardy. And we talked for a little bit. And I had asked him for an interview. And he was like, if this were a week ago, I would have said yes. But now that's something I have to clear. And I'm like, what does that mean?
What mean? Yeah.
and I'm like, have to clear with whom? Say World Wrestling Entertainment? Say you're about to come back tomorrow night? This was on Saturday. And then on Sunday, sure enough, he was at WrestleMania. So I knew, but only because of that conversation.
Well, thank you for that exclusive scoop.
I don't think I've ever told that story before.
That's funny. Yeah, leaves you wondering like, what do you mean by that? Oh, okay, see you tomorrow. So all right, the main event, the two Royal Rumbles, the men's Royal Rumble and the women's Royal Rumble. There's a lot of names being thrown around. I think it's pretty obvious Cody's gonna win the Rumble. There are some wild cards like Sammy if he does appear in the Royal Rumble. However, for the women's Rumble, a lot of people have been saying Rhea Ripley. I think Bailey should win the Royal Rumble.
I'm going to go with Rhea as well. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I think so. I think that she's, like right now, Bailey just exited the title scene. We just saw her in the title picture. She didn't get it done, and she got multiple opportunities at it. I think that as far as Rhea's concerned, we haven't seen her in this form as far as the Judgment Day Ripley. We have not seen her get a title opportunity. And I think that that's by design. I think that she's been kind of kept at bay long enough to get to have the WrestleMania moment with this character. I think her and having Dominic Mysterio with her, all of that, I think this is a new venture for her. I think she's more over than she's ever been. And if there were ever a time to do it, it's right now. So I think she's the one. I think she is going to win it.
I think it would be cool to see her win it. I just want Bailey because I enjoy Bailey and I really enjoy damage control right now. Yeah. And I would love to see her get that big win because she's got a lot of good, you know, wins under her belt. She's, I think, Triple Crown champion, if I'm not mistaken. So I want to see her with a Rumble win, but maybe it won't be this year. Who knows? Do you think Cody's definitely going to win the Rumble?
Oh, yeah. I think that, look, Cody came out at WrestleMania, right? Or the night after WrestleMania, got on the microphone, and he laid out a goal. He said, my goal is to become WWE champion. There's literally no one else on the roster saying that. Like, even Seth Rollins was like, I'm going to enter the Rumble, and I'm going to main event WrestleMania. But there's only one person who in the last year, two people, I guess Logan Paul, but like in the last year, barely anybody has actually made it their absolute goal to become champion. And it's been Cody. And even when you see these like return videos, especially that really good hype video they played on Monday, it was all centered around the idea that he wants to become world champion. Nobody else is saying that. Nobody else is put their sights on it. And I feel like that's a good thing, right? That's what Cody's saying makes what Roman has feel like the richest prize. I have some reservations. Like, I love the bloodline angle. And I say that knowing that I think what Sammy's doing is some of the best stuff. But Sammy's goal has never been being champion. And I think it's a mistake to suddenly put that on him when it has never been a part of the story whatsoever. His goal has always just been kind of the acceptance. And somebody said on Twitter, and I fully agreed with it, that Sammy would actually still be vindicated when he finds the acceptance where it's been all along, the guy who never turned his back on him, Kevin Owens. And I think that's where Sammy's arc finds its moment. But I think for Cody, he set a pretty clear goal. I want to become world champion. If you have him fail at that in his first night back, he has a clear path to becoming champion, which is winning the Royal Rumble, and he's back in the Royal Rumble. If you have him fail at the only goal he's ever aspired to in coming to WWE, when he left AEW, he straight up said, I left to become WWE champion. I'm coming for the title. This is his first opportunity at it. You can't have him fail at it now. If he's not going to win, bringing him back for the Rumble is a mistake.
It's in the cards. It's in the cards for him. And like you said, it's always been in the cards for him to take the titles when he came back last year and cut that amazing promo. Like that was probably the best promo that I have seen in a while on Monday Night Raw, especially. So, yeah, I think it's in the stars for him. But I hope he comes out as Stardust one day after all this is over.
Do not.
I want Stardust.
Are you kidding me? I have to stare at Stardust every day I sit down here because I have a WrestleMania 32 poster right here. Because I was at that WrestleMania. I try to get posters for every show I go to in case people can't tell. But Stardust is like right in the middle because he was in the Intercontinental title ladder match that night. And so I have to stare at Stardust staring back at me on this poster. And it's a reminder, I don't want to say Stardust. That was the last WrestleMania he worked before coming back as the American Nightmare at WrestleMania 38. I'm excited for this, though. And like, I think we're going to get some surprises out of it for sure. But Cody, I think he's the guy.
What's one surprise you want to see? A surprise entrant. I've been saying Right to Censor Ivory. I want to see her come back. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she did that last year. That was really good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Like, and a big piece of it is because I've been watching wrestling that long that, and I'd say 2000 is probably the time period that I'm most fond of as far as WWE TV is concerned. And so mm-hmm. when that music hit, it didn't even register to me for like maybe 2 seconds that that's not music you've heard in 20 years, Will. Because it was so natural. It hit, and I'm just like, oh, Ivory, that's cool. Wait a minute, Ivory. Because I was so used to it. Because that used to be a thing we heard every single week. We would see that Tron. I love the Right to Censor, by the way. That's one of my favorite gimmicks of all time. I think that just the idea of WWE being actually concerned about some of the stuff that was coming at them from the Parents Television Council and all that stuff, telling them wrestling's gotten too lewd, wrestling's gotten this, to that, and you literally have a character named Mr. Ass, like, you can't do this kind of stuff. And so they're like, okay, how do we clean this up, but in a way that makes it story? And it's like, oh, easy. We make heels whose job it is to clean up professional wrestling. So that way we are taking away things people like, but at the same time, we're making story out of it. Like, you had the Godfather who became the Good Father. No more hoes, right? And you've got the porn star Val Venus who's now joined the Right to Censor. You've cleaned that up. You've, Mr. Ass, lost the rights to his name by losing the rights to Right to Censor. All of that stuff that WWE wanted to clean up, they were successfully able to do by having a heel faction do it. My favorite, it's one of my favorite things. That is a very creative way to have your programming cleaned up. Excellent
stuff.
Yeah.
It was so entertaining. It was so entertaining, especially now, like, you know, growing up and understanding it a little bit more now, you know. But back in the day when I was younger, I was like, I know they're awful, but I like them, you know, like they're heels. But I
mean, honestly, I was angry the day they debuted. Are you kidding me? It was what? Steven Richards, it was a over the top rope topless match or something along those lines, where like every time somebody got tossed over the top rope, their female manager on the outside had to remove an article of clothing. And Terry had lost and she was about to remove her top, and then all of a sudden here comes Stevie Richards that covers her up, and that was the debut of Right to Censor. And it was like and at that point, what made that work was fans wanted to see what they thought they were going to get and didn't get it. And that was, who knew, that was actually really the path to PG programming.
Thank you, Right to Censor. You did it for us. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the much anticipated segment, which is Shoot or Boot. This is a fun little game where we are going through a specific topic, and if you like something, you shoot it. It's a shoot. If you don't like it, you give it the old boot. And since you are everyone's favorite wrestling encyclopedia, I figure we go over Royal Rumble winners, and we can determine this shoot or boot based on if they were the right person to win the Rumble this year, and was their win worth it going into the match that they had at WrestleMania.
Let's do it.
And it's funny you brought up the 2000 era of WWE. So the first one is The Rock winning the Royal Rumble 2000, going on to WrestleMania 2000 for the Fatal 4-Way between him, Triple H, Mick Foley, and The Big Show.
All right. I'm going to give the Rumble win itself a shoot because, look, it's The Rock. He was the hottest name on television at the time, and we had been, this was probably 9 months into his run as a babyface. He was the hottest thing on television. He was the hottest thing in professional wrestling. Literally, it didn't matter what the WWE Championship was doing. People cared more about what The Rock was doing, and at some point we needed to get to that, the moment where you melded the two, where the most important championship in the company is now being targeted by the most important guy in the company. This was a really important win. He should have won at WrestleMania, but they waited until Backlash to do it. But this was the right moment. The Rock for sure. Shoot.
How do you feel about the McMahons being in each of their corners at that WrestleMania?
I feel worse about it. I feel worse about it in hindsight. At the time, it was like, you know, it was the biggest story at the time. But no, in hindsight, this should have just been Hunter versus The Rock. And they way overcomplicated it. Like, especially with having Big Show in the picture. Big Show in the picture was crummy just because we had already seen that triple threat at Survivor Series literally like 2 months prior. Triple H versus The Rock versus The Big Show. We just saw that. And then they were like kind of hyping that up for WrestleMania. And then you had Mick Foley lose the Hell in a Cell for his career. But then we're like, actually, even though Hunter didn't cheat, this was a straight up clean win. Hunter beat him fair and square. No interference. They were like, actually, Mick Foley's going to get one more shot at WrestleMania this year. And Linda McMahon's going to be in his corner. And they came up with this convoluted explanation of, if Mick Foley wins, there will then be a subsequent tournament. The title will be vacated, and there'll be a subsequent tournament to determine who becomes WWF champion, and it will take place on a series of Raws, and then Mick Foley is the second person eliminated in that match in the Fatal 4-Way. So, like, none of it even mattered. It should have just been a straight-up Rock versus Triple H WrestleMania main event, and the ending we got at Backlash should have been the main event of WrestleMania 2000.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Okay, next we have the Royal Rumble 2014 when Batista won, going into WrestleMania 30, Batista versus Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. So the Royal Rumble win, I am definitely going to give it a boot.
Boot, for sure. Yeah. There was a way to get to the ending they still wanted to get to, and I rebooked this mentally a lot. All right, hear me out here. Ready for it?
Yeah, give me that fantasy booking.
Okay, here's how I would have fantasy booked this. So, at TLC, do you remember what the main event of TLC 2013 was?
TLC 2013. I don't remember, but fun fact, that was when I was getting back into wrestling. That's okay. So, remind me.
That was Randy Orton, WWE Champion, versus John Cena, World Heavyweight Champion, to merge the belts to determine the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That was a month before this, right? So, what was the point of that? Why did you do that? Why did you merge the belts at TLC, a pay-per-view that you're not even doing anymore? Like, the time to merge the belts, to have this historic moment of crowning the Undisputed Champion, as they just did last year, should have been WrestleMania. So what I would have done, knowing that it was just 3 months off, you could have just waited 3 months to merge the belts, would have been keep the World Heavyweight title on Cena, keep the WWE title on Randy Orton. Bryan Danielson wins the Royal Rumble, and you get the triple threat at WrestleMania. So, like, the idea would have been, you know how every year they do the wrestler wins the Royal Rumble and gets to choose their champion, who they go after.
Yep.
So then I would have had Bryan, Royal Rumble winner. He's got beef with Randy Orton because Randy Orton is literally wearing the WWE title that he screwed him out of. But John Cena, he's also got a beef with because John Cena was the man that he beat at SummerSlam, and now John Cena is walking around calling himself champion. Mm-hmm. And Bryan Danielson declares, I want both of you at WrestleMania. And we get a triple threat. Cena, Orton, Bryan Danielson, WrestleMania. You get the same ending, right? Where Brian,
you're touching my heartstrings right now. Yeah.
Where Brian walks out of WrestleMania with both belts, holding them high above his head. And that's where you did the merger moment. That's where you crowned the and merged the belts, if that's what you were going to do. And you tie up the end of Brian's beef with Orton. And you tie up the end of Brian's beef with Cena. Because the stuff with Cena never really concluded. He just moved on. And then Batista really shouldn't have been involved in anything at that point. Like, I know why they brought back Batista when they did, but also, like, that wasn't a thing people were screaming for. That's why the fans turned on this. That's why they booed Batista out of the Royal Rumble. That's why they booed him into turning heel. Batista is a good worker, and he was able to make, you know, chicken salad out of this. But ultimately, it just shouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have been involved in anything. He had been gone so long. At this point, and I'm not talking about Cody Rhodes gone, because I know people have brought that up, where how can you say you didn't want Batista in a match, but you want Cody Rhodes, and he's been gone. Cody Rhodes has been gone 9 months. Batista was gone 4 years. Like, there was, Batista had nothing to do with anything at this point. He should not have been involved.
I agree.
It's and he was only around like 5 months, and then he was gone again. So he, like,
but he did give us the iconic blue Batista.
Yes. But then he was just gone, and he didn't return again for 5 years after that. So, like, this didn't need to happen. I still feel this was a 100% misstep all around.
I agree. I wish we got your fantasy booking for WrestleMania 30. All right. Next, we have Asuka 2018, the first Women's Royal Rumble, going on to WrestleMania 34 to face Charlotte Flair. The win itself is a shoot, and then Ronda came out and just took away the limelight, and then the match itself going into WrestleMania.
Great match.
It was a really great match, but I do think that Asuka should have won that match. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. I think I give the Rumble itself a shoot. I think that she was undefeated at the time, and this was coming off of a huge NXT undefeated streak. She should have kept this going, and she did. So the Rumble win should have been to keep it going. You could, having her lose via getting her first loss being just getting tossed out of a Rumble, that's no good to me. She should have kept it going, and I'm glad they did. But yeah, having her lose, especially via submission at WrestleMania, that was no good to me.
Yeah, I agree. But the match itself was so, so good. And to see Asuka and Charlotte Flair finally was fantastic for me, because I loved Asuka when she was doing Kana at this time. I was enjoying Charlotte Flair's work. Her Charlotte Flair's entrance at WrestleMania 34 is still one of my favorites. Yeah. But yeah, super iconic. This whole entire Royal Rumble was a shoot too, because you also had Shinsuke Nakamura win the Men's Royal Rumble. But then that match happened as well with AJ Styles. I'm so sorry I had to bring that up again. It's okay. It's okay. We'll move on. We'll move on.
Okay.
Next, Bianca Belair winning 2021, going on to WrestleMania 37 to face Sasha Banks. This is a
pew,
super
pew.
Shoot. Yeah. Pew pew. It's a super shoot. Come on. She had an amazing performance during this Royal Rumble. That match with Sasha Banks, the main event, the first time two black women have main evented WrestleMania. It was a historic moment for both of them. That moment before the match when the bell rang and they took it all in. It just, I think the build going into that WrestleMania, though, wasn't the strongest, but from the bookends, it was, like, picture perfect, right?
Yeah, I think so. The only thing, my only regret with this one is that it took place in the Thunderdome, and I will never watch a Thunderdome thing again. And so I almost hate that that moment is, like, kind of lost in history for me, but I, at the time, knowing that that was all we had, of course I enjoyed it. It's great. The finishing sequence with Rhea, phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great. But I will say the camera work for that Royal Rumble was great. That like 8 5K like digital camera. Do you remember that? I don't know what the camera is called specifically, but that was my favorite point. That was my favorite thing about the Thunderdome era of WWE. Other than that, I will give that whole entire era a boot.
Well, because they were doing the depth of field stuff and like really making like the wrestlers stand out at the time. It looked good. I agree. It's just the canned noise. Like, to me, wrestling is all about the engagement of the crowd. And when you don't have that, it's really hard for me to take it in. And like, I love that organic noise. That stuff is infectious. I love it when fans are on their feet and excited about something. There's no greater sound to me than a pop. And so that year and a half of not having that is tough.
Yeah, it was really tough. But it paid off once we got into WrestleMania. And there was a crowd for that. So they deserved it. Yeah, super shoot. Okay, Next is the Royal Rumble 2019, Becky Lynch, the man during this point. She goes on to become the first woman, women's main event at WrestleMania 35, Becky, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair. I think I might give this one a shoot.
This has to be a shoot. So people have had this idea for many, many years, right? And it's happened now twice. But I remember going into the 2019 Royal Rumble, there was always this idea that somebody could lose a title match. I suppose 22 with Brock Lesnar is the first time we saw it in full. But the idea that they would lose the title, enter the Rumble, and win the Rumble. She didn't necessarily do that because she was... But she did have a SmackDown Women's title match earlier in the night against Asuka. Asuka, who had won the title at TLC a month prior. And so, but the idea of losing a title match and kind of setting fans up to think that it's all over for this person, but then they come back later in the night and win the entire thing. That's such a cool story. And I'm glad Becky got to be kind of the first one to really do it. And this was the entire shoot. Even going to WrestleMania, sure, it should have been one-on-one with Ronda because that was Ronda at her hottest and it was Becky at her hottest. Charlotte was kind of cold. And the match should have been a singles match, but at the end of the day, this was Becky Lynch at her red-hot peak, and there's nobody else I would have put the Rumble win on.
Yeah, I agree. This was a shoot. Although I am going to boot... the WrestleMania match, just because I was very cold that night. It started to rain and I didn't get home till 4 a.m. because we were waiting for the public transit trains. I don't drive since we were in New York. And we took an Uber back to Harlem from New Jersey, and it cost almost $150 to take an Uber back, but it was four of us, so we split it, thankfully. I'm just reliving the tale of a disastrous
weekend. That's one of those weekends I flew home and watched WrestleMania from my couch, did everything in New York. I had a lot of fun in New York. And I even stayed in Times Square. And this was like literally, you could see the New York Times from my window. But I had a blast. And then I went home and watched WrestleMania on my couch. And I just thought, those poor folks. No, honestly, I know some people don't like two-night WrestleMania. God bless two-night WrestleMania, because them 7-hour shows being a thing of the past, that's a shoot in my book. That's, love it.
Yeah, I'm in my 30s now. I will definitely take apart a two-night WrestleMania. For sure. I will say at the end of this WrestleMania, when we were leaving the arena or the stadium, we saw Hiroshi Tanahashi and we took a picture with him. So that's the highlight of my WrestleMania 35.
Love it.
Okay, next is the iconic Stone Cold Steve Austin win from 1997, going on to WrestleMania 13, where he faced Bret Hart, the iconic submission match, Stone Cold Steve Austin. This is his first win, and then he went on to win two more Royal Rumbles. What do you think?
Boot. And the reason why is because there was so much. He didn't have a title match at WrestleMania that year. Yeah. the WrestleMania title match was Psycho Sid versus The Undertaker, which could have had any less to do with this. And so, like, this was a really convoluted period for WWE because this was right around the time that Shawn Michaels had decided that he lost his smile and he leaves and he relinquishes the belt. So then we've got this belt vacancy going on and nothing really made any sense or came together well.
And then he came back for that WrestleMania and he was on commentary for that main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was so weird. Like, why are you even there?
and Bret and Austin was an excellent match and even an excellent feud. But I feel like the Rumble being the catalyst for that in a way where neither of those guys were in the title match, that sucks. And that WrestleMania 13 has the oddest build of any WrestleMania I've ever watched. And I was watching it at the time. Granted, I was a WCW guy at the time. I was basically the only time I ever caught Raw was when I heard Disco Inferno's music on Nitro. That was like my sign to change the channel. And then and I would check out what was going on Raw. But for the most part, this was like me fully invested in NWO, WCW. Didn't really care about, and this was part of the reason. It was like, hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's kind of cool. But like, none of the things happening with the championship make any sense right now. And I was not into it as a kid.
Now that you say it like that, I'm going to have to agree and give it a boot. Although the moments that Stone Cold Steve Austin had in this Rumble, like this image, for example, of him looking at the watch, like it was a fun performance. I would give the performance during this Rumble a shoot. But yeah, the outcome of not having a title match or even main eventing that WrestleMania, it's definitely a boot.
Yeah.
Next. The amazing return greatest, of John Cena.
Greatest Royal Rumble moment of all time. Hold up.
Break it down.
All right. John Cena was the WWE champion and had been champion for literally a year. Mm-hmm. He won the title at Unforgiven 2006, and on the Monday before No Mercy 2007, tears his pec, he has to go out. Now, the funny thing is, shout out PW Insider and Mike Johnson. Because PW Insider had the correct report on John Cena's injury, and then WWE lied to us about it, and we all took their word for it. But Mike Johnson had reported at the time, John Cena will be out about 3 months. And then WWE comes out the next day and is like, John Cena will be out 6 months to a year. And silly us. None of us thought to question WWE on that. Nobody thought to say, hey, 6 months to a year is a little excessive for that type of injury. Mm-hmm. And why did Mike Johnson say 3 months? And it turns out 3 months was correct. But back of everybody's minds, they did this build to the Royal Rumble, right? Where Triple H couldn't get into the Royal Rumble. And he has to fight his way back in. And Vince McMahon is putting all these obstacles in front of him. And Vince McMahon finally gives him an opportunity on the Monday before the Royal Rumble to get in. Hunter gets in. So in everybody's minds, Hunter is the guy who's winning the Royal Rumble. He's got the beef with Randy Orton, the WWE champion. That makes perfect sense. And Hunter was, of course, number 29 in the Royal Rumble. And on top of that, you've got other stories going on SmackDown where you've got Undertaker trying to fight to get back to the World Heavyweight Championship to face Edge. And because Edge taking the title from him, there were multiple angles you could have gone with. John Cena was in nobody's minds at the time, except for a handful of people. Shout out to my old buddy Matt Galloway, who was my co-host on RBR back in the day. Matt Galloway had noticed that there was a MySpace page for one Elizabeth Haberdeau. Elizabeth Haberdeau was John Cena's ex-wife, or ex-fiance at the time. And she had posted some pictures on her MySpace of her and John celebrating their engagement. This was in December of 2007. People couldn't help but notice, or Matt couldn't help but notice especially, hey, there's no sling on John Cena's arm. Am I crazy, or does he look perfectly healthy? He was the only one to successfully predict that John Cena was secretly okay, was going to be in the Rumble, and was going to win it. As we all gave our predictions, I said Triple H, somebody said The Undertaker, somebody said Shawn Michaels. Everybody's giving their predictions. Matt said, I think it's John Cena. And we all laughed at that going, Cena, he's not ready yet. Come on. And he was completely on the money. He followed the clues. But this A-plus moment, just because nobody was thinking about it. They managed to keep this way under wraps. We thought Cena was months from being ready to come back. That man comes out, and he's looking down. And the way he comes down with his head down and shoulders up, and you just see the top of his hat. There's this moment in the minds of every fan watching of, this isn't real. Like, that's not really Cena. It's probably just somebody pretending. And then he looks up. And that moment of realization for everybody, when he looks up with that look we're seeing on our screen right there, and we're like, oh my God, John Cena's back. This doesn't make any sense. He was supposed to be out 6 months to a year. And then my brain immediately went to, oh yeah, PW Insider sure did say it would only be 3 months. And it really was only 3 months. Cena's back. And he went on to so this gets a shoot, and he went on to a moment that I give a boot, because he absolutely it was such a waste. I don't think if they knew at the time that Cena was coming back to film 12 rounds and therefore wasn't actually going to fully be back in play, they very much should have done something else. Mm-hmm. Because for those who don't recall, and it's hard to know at the time, but Cena came back and then he was also simultaneously filming 12 Rounds. And so he's like half-ass working WWE TV. He's like doing these matches where he's not taking any bumps whatsoever and like barely doing anything in these matches. And it was very clear that, oh, they're protecting him because he's filming this movie. Mm-hmm. And of course, he then loses at WrestleMania. Awful finish, by the way. Cena gets pedigreed, and then Orton punts Hunter and then pins Cena. But Cena has like this weird ring awareness where he is looking off camera for Orton to punt Triple H, uh-huh. but he had just been pedigreed and is supposed to be selling this thing. And so mm-hmm. he's like literally staring at Randy Orton, eyes wide open, and then gets pinned. And I'm like, but we just saw you conscious. What? Horrible finish. A lot of that stuff sucked. I heard a rumor, by the way, that that night was supposed to have the first ever Money in the Bank cash in the same night as the title match. That
oh, really?
That well, because the word was always that Jeff Hardy was supposed to win the Money in the Bank that year, uh-huh. and then Jeff Hardy got suspended 3 weeks before Money in the Bank, and it ended up going to CM Punk. But that there was going to be a moment, because Jeff Hardy had a feud with Randy Orton that year, back in January. As a matter of fact, at this very Royal Rumble, Jeff Hardy faced Randy Orton,
uh-huh.
and that feud hadn't really finished. And so there's a rumor that Jeff was going to win the Money in the Bank at that show, and then cash in on Randy Orton, and that was going to be the conclusion there. That was going to be his WrestleMania moment, and it ended up not happening. A lot of stuff didn't work the way it was supposed to, but the Rumble win itself, greatest Rumble moment of all time. I truly believe it is.
Yeah, this is definitely a shoot. And the placement of where he came out plays such a huge role too, because he came out at number 30, right? Mm-hmm. And like everyone was like, who's left? Like, who is left? And for me, I did not know. I had a MySpace, but I was not following John Cena's ex-fiance on MySpace or anything like that. But I was legit like, who's next? Are they just going to bring somebody new? It's like, I for some reason thought, I don't know who I thought was going to come out, but I was just flabbergasted when I saw John Cena come out. And I remember WWE. I watched...
breaking all their own rules there, by the way, with because like Hunter was 29 and Hunter like pedigreed like five people, and it's like it's been well over the time limit to get to number 30, but they knew they had to have him like pedigree Umaga before you could clear the ring and do that moment. But they totally like weren't paying attention to the clock. It was all about setting it up for Cena to make his way out. It's a great moment. It's greatest moment of his career moment. Honestly, I don't think Cena's had a better moment than that.
I agree. I really agree. I don't think he's had any like a better moment than this. It's iconic. Like, it's definitely one of those moments where it's always going to be in the video package for the Royal Rumble, you know? Yeah. So next, we have Shawn Michaels winning the 1995 Royal Rumble. He was number one in this Royal Rumble. So I think this was the first time where an Iron Man entrant was a thing in the Royal Rumble, and then he went on to WrestleMania 11 to face Diesel.
So Ric Flair happened 3 years prior, but Ric Flair wasn't the number one, but he was number two. So that's
There you go. So, you're encyclopedia, see?
So but this of course, he went on to WrestleMania, did not win at WrestleMania that year, but it was still kind of a good setup for Shawn to come back and win back-to-back Rumble. So this actually does get a shoot for me. And I even give the WrestleMania match a shoot, and that he didn't win, but I think it told a great story for what was to come the following year for the boyhood dream to come true.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a shoot. What do you think about this moment of him skinning the cat? I know there's some controversy where people said that both his feet touched the ground. What do you think?
wrestling's fake. Who cares?
Yeah. I know. Like, who cares? He won. It was a fun Royal Rumble.
Just don't show it again. That's all you have to do.
Just show it from this point up. Don't.
Yeah, just show it from that point. You don't have to do any of that. I mean, it was a cool moment for me as a kid. I didn't realize that his feet had touched the ground. I just thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life, that he held on, pulled himself back in, skinned the cat, and got the victory.
Yeah, yeah. And you posted that video of him holding on to dear life with his fingertips. What Royal Rumble was that?
2010. That's one of my favorite Rumbles ever. Mm-hmm. That Rumble, just the story in that Rumble. I don't know if it's one coming up here, so...
it's not, but we could dish about it a little
honestly,
bit.
Honestly, that Rumble 2010, because for a while the Rumbles were kind of struggling to figure themselves out, and mm-hmm. then the 2010 Rumble tried something very different. That had the CM Punk stuff with him having members try to join the Straight Edge mm-hmm. Society. he basically cleared the ring and then grabs the microphone and is talking through the Rumble and inviting people to join Straight Edge Society. That whole story throughout it is actually really good. And then the mm-hmm. story of Shawn Michaels wants to go on to WrestleMania. He didn't even care about the title. He just wants a rematch with Taker, who at the mm-hmm. time was the champ. And so you have the story of Shawn trying to get as close to Taker as he can, and he's going on this phenomenal Rumble run. But then you also have the story of Batista, who had just recently turned heel, and Batista is really needing that moment to cement himself as a heel, to cement himself as mm-hmm. a guy you really despise. And so for Shawn to have that money run of he's just eliminating people because his destiny is to get to that rematch everybody wants to see, and then Batista just... he doesn't even toss him out of the ring. Batista just knocks his hands off the rope, and mm-hmm. Sean's clinging on for dear life, and Batista just keeps hitting his hands till Sean falls. Magnificent moment. That's one of my that is up there as one of my favorite Rumbles. Edge won that one, of course. That was Edge's return from the Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. I love that night. I had so much fun that night.
I'm going to have to watch that Rumble again because it's a little fuzzy, the memory of that Royal Rumble. So mm-hmm. you're inspiring me. I'm definitely going to watch that again. Okay. Last one we have. Actually, we're going to skip this one.
No.
Unless you want to talk about it.
No.
Okay.
No, skip it.
Okay. Because I was. Okay. This will be the last one then. So the last one is Roman Reigns winning 2015 to go on to WrestleMania 31 facing Brock Lesnar. However, Seth Rollins cashed in on that one. For some reason, The Rock came out. This may be foreshadowing of what we're going to see at WrestleMania this year. I have no idea, but Will, you have feelings.
Boo everything about this. None of this needed to happen. Roman was not ready. Again, I talked earlier about how if you're bringing Cody back now and you're mm-hmm. not going to have him win, that's a mistake. Because it is literally the biggest piece of his character. Mm-hmm. Likewise, Daniel Bryan had a severe neck injury and had to relinquish the WWE World Heavyweight Championship he had won at WrestleMania. They brought him back right before the Royal Rumble to declare he's coming back for the titles he never lost. And the fans were all in on that story. They went, yes, that's what we want to see. Heck yes, that was no pun intended, but they were all like, that's the thing we want to see. It makes perfect sense. Story writes itself. Daniel Bryan goes on to win the Rumble and get the title back that he never lost. If you knew you weren't bringing him back to win the Rumble, why did you bring him back here? You could have brought him back the night after the Rumble just to make sure there's no confusion. But the fact is, you set the fans up to want to see that thing. You even had Brian go through trials, right? Brian,
yeah.
Because you had Roman Reigns here just literally got on the mic at, what was that, a TLC and declared, I'm entering the Rumble. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And people were like, okay. And then Brian, on the other hand, he's like, I want to win the Royal Rumble. And they're like, well, you have to face this person and you have to face this person. And literally uh-huh. he had a casket match with Kane. You set the fans up to want to see Bryan win the Royal Rumble. They were ready for it. The moment made perfect sense. You have Bryan go on to challenge Brock Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And then if you really wanted to crush people's dreams because they were so into the idea of Bryan becoming champion and winning his belt back that he never lost, then you have Seth Rollins cash in on him in the same way. Literally, you get the exact same outcome. You get even more heat on Seth Rollins. It still becomes one of the greatest moments of Seth Rollins' career. And instead, you set Roman up to die because Roman Reigns is out here. And Roman, I think, could have gotten there had he not had that hernia. But mm-hmm. the fact was Roman had the hernia in 2014. So he was out from September till December. And mm-hmm. being out that long, people weren't caring. They didn't care. Yeah. They weren't thinking about Roman. Roman was in the back of their minds. He wasn't the guy anybody was looking for or looking forward to winning. And so when Bryan gets eliminated from the Rumble and completely, it was so non-monumental. It was literally just like he gets tossed over, he's holding on, and then Bray Wyatt just knocks him off the apron. It was like that guy was in there like 2 to 3 minutes. Like unceremonious, that's the word I'm looking for. It was so unceremonious the way they tossed Bryan out. And then you had Roman Reigns come in. And I think the fans would have been at least indifferent on Roman had that not just happened to Bryan. But when that happened with Roman, they booed the man out of the building. And then on top of that, the Rumble itself also stunk. So then you're having these moments where all these guys where Big Show and Kane are just like unceremoniously dumping out the other fan favorites. Ziggler, fan favorite, gets just like set out gently. Dean Ambrose gets set out gently. And then Roman wins. Fans do not care. They hate it. They are booing. They did not want to see this man and his dumbass blue contacts get this victory. They wanted to see no parts of this because they weren't asking for it. There's nothing about they had a clear path for what they were asking for. They didn't give it to them. And then they do the silly ending where they tease that, oh, wait, Rusev wasn't tossed out yet. Doesn't matter. Roman still just like throws him out. They brought out The Rock to maybe add something to this.
Yeah, to like smooth things over, sort of, with the fans.
Nothing. Especially considering The Rock had been hinting all day that he was going to be at the Rumble. And so the thing people thought was, because they were chanting Rocky, but they weren't chanting Rocky as in a, we want him to come out and help Roman Reigns. No, they were chanting Rocky because they thought he was going to be in the Rumble. They thought, oh, maybe we're going to get that Rock-Brock rematch. Maybe that's where this is going. Because Rock had been posting all day, hey, I'm in Philadelphia right now. It was a thing people remembered. Rock, this was just a disastrous ending. Nothing about this clicked. And this set Roman up for years of disaster that could have been avoided had they just waited a year on him. They knew they wanted him to be that guy. Had they just waited exactly 1 year, I think you don't have this stink on him. But because the stink of this night stayed with Roman for until the bloodline, until you were able to turn him heel.
Yeah, a few years. Yeah.
It stayed on him for years. You honestly, because they went for it and then bailed with Seth. So they like didn't ever fully commit to Roman either. Man, I feel like this is an unfortunate chapter of his career that we're always going to look back on as like, why? Like, ultimately, Roman had a successful career, but you didn't have to do this. So glad I got to talk about this, because this is one I feel, like, really strongly about. I was so mad about this Rumble. I didn't watch WrestleMania live. This was the first WrestleMania that I was so annoyed with everything around that I was like, I'll watch it if I hear good things. And I heard good things about the main event and all of that, and I'm like, okay. I watched it well after the fact, but I didn't watch it live. I found something else to do.
Now, did you enjoy it when you watched it?
I did enjoy it. Okay, yeah. But it was one of those things where I thought the build didn't deserve my attention. And so I was like, fuck it. I'll watch it some other time. And that was the first time and only time I have skipped a live WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's a boot. It's a boot. This image is hilarious when you see The Rock's face and then Roman is like somehow delusionally happy.
I know.
With those blue contacts too. They were a choice to wear those.
They did not do Roman any favors at this time. They just didn't. You can show me the next one, by the way, because I think I saw Ronda Rousey there.
I was going to skip over. You had a lot of feelings. I was like, okay, let's go to that one. All right. So the last one was from last year, Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar winning. You were at this Royal Rumble, right?
Mm-hmm. I was absolutely were there.
You were in the section where the WrestleMania sign caught on fire.
I could see it right in front of me, yeah. So, because I wasn't on the floor, because it was the floor seats where they had to evacuate everybody.
But... Oh, okay, so you weren't sitting, like, right underneath it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny to think that Royal Rumble was the year where a WrestleMania sign caught on fire, and we don't even talk about that anymore because of these two disastrous wins.
The Rumble itself was a complete dud. I even talked to somebody in creative who did not understand how a Rumble in St. Louis did so little by Randy Orton. Like, they were like, it was the easiest creative choice in the world of, hey, bring Randy Orton in early and basically tell the story of him, like, if he's not going to win, he should have at least an RKO spree throughout the match because he is the most popular guy here. And Randy had a very short run in this Rumble.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing made sense here. Ronda, what is that gear, Ronda?
It's questionable. I know everyone gets at Ronda for her makeup, which is, like, valid, I guess. But this outfit was a choice. It looks like she got those jeans from Fashion Nova. I don't know about the top too much, but...
I think this all looks like it came off of Shein, and then she just, like, wrote baddest on the shirt. And, like, it's fine, but, like, this isn't wrestling gear. Like, you have professionals backstage who make this stuff. What is happening here?
And her other gear is really good, actually. Yeah. Like, from WrestleMania 34, especially, like, you could.
She's traditionally had some great gear. This was not it. And the Rumble itself was no good. And so, just to have these dud endings, awful stuff, it was the most annoying thing about Brock winning this Rumble was mainly that we had really exhausted Brock and Roman at this point. And like, we literally, it was the main event of Crown Jewel just like a couple months prior. We had really exhausted this stuff. And to keep it going, was there nothing else? Did you have, and the fact that they did it again at SummerSlam, and it was a good match at SummerSlam, but the fact that they did it again, it was like, do you have anything else? These were duds. This is the worst Rumble I've attended. I think it's the lowest rated on Cage Match. And the WrestleMania matches, I'll say that Charlotte and Ronda was pretty good, actually. Brock and Roman was not. That was not a good main event. And they went on to have a better match at SummerSlam, but the one they did at WrestleMania was not worth what we went through to get here. That was not WrestleMania worthy at all. Thumbs down all the way.
Now, was this the first WrestleMania that Roman won clean against Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only good thing from that match.
Yeah, because 34, Brock won clean for some reason. And then, again, it was just a failure to commit to babyface Roman. It's like, we want to do these things, but we don't. And I think if WWE's failure to commit made fans go, well, if you're not going to commit, we're not going to commit. And then, of course, he didn't win at WrestleMania 31 because of the Money in the Bank cash-in.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, all I remember from WrestleMania 34 was the beach balls being thrown around.
What an era of fans. I'm actually kind of glad that we're like kind of out of that era.
Yeah, me too. Shout out to Claudio for destroying the beach ball when he did. All right, well, that about does it for Shoot and Boot. The Royal Rumble is this weekend. Now, do you think we're going to get The Rock at the Royal Rumble?
No, I think he's been trying to tell us for a while and that we all kind of psyched ourselves into the possibility. Like every time he's asked about return to wrestling, he gives that answer that I give my kids when like I know the answer is no, but I don't have a reason to tell him no. And I'm like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't think so either, but If he does, hopefully it's not a WrestleMania 22 or WrestleMania 2015 ending for his sake, because I don't think he needs it after that Black Adam stuff.
No, I don't think he does either.
No, I don't think he does. Well, Will, this has been an absolute pleasure. I love working with you. You are an amazing person in wrestling media. You. Yeah, of course.
I appreciate that. No, we gotta do more. Like, seriously, we do. This is like what, third or fourth time we've done some form of third for sure.
Yeah, third. Yeah, third. Uh-huh. Third.
Yeah. We have to. For sure. We gotta do more.
Yeah, yeah, and then we'll see each other again at WrestleMania.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, outside of Wale Mania, where we can both actually talk to each other. Well, Will, tell the people where they can find you, the many, many wonderful shows that you host.